I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
All right, we're back. Can you dig it? Another season of Arts and Seizures.
I'm back.
There you go.
There you
now,
go.
If you like,
the
can get
studio audience here at Roberta's. We're down at Roberta's.
Looking at the awkward date table. A very young couple there today. I'm wondering what happened.
They're a nice bunch.
But this is episode number, I don't know, 200 and some goddamn thing. We are on a tear.
You're on a tear.
I'm gonna make new theme music just for you, Pete. It's about time.
It's about time. I'm happy to be here, Mike.
The last one
I'm always happy to see you.
All right. Well, I'm
the people listening all around the world.
Not as happy as I am to see you. And as ever, it is a cavalcade of stars.
You look great.
More arts than seizures today, for sure.
Yeah, it's a very literate show.
A very literate group. We've got our friends from Feral House.
Feral House. Hey. Famous publishers of Filmland. There we go.
And our good friend from Milwaukee, Christina Ward, is here to discuss the fineries of old fashions.
Hello.
And anarchist publishing. And, of course, the muckety-muck of all muckety-mucks, the potentate of publishing, Adam Parfrey. Glad to see you, Adam.
Good to see you.
Yeah, man. Last time you were here, Christina, we were talking about some of the more dangerous, edgier titles that you had. We were talking about French horror houses and skinheads.
Edgy.
We were. And that was last season, and we've already moved on, and we're here in New York to talk about what we're planning for fall of 2017 as the spring of 2017 titles come out. I was at Rough Trade this morning, and always so happy to see some of our backlist titles on the Yeah Yeah Girls, as well as on Black Metal, and the memoir by Harley Flanagan, and our coloring books. We've got our rock and roll coloring books with David Bowie and Prince, and Muhammad Ali's coming out.
You could say The Grateful Dead. It's okay.
We're not saying The Grateful Dead.
I'll say it.
Oh, no.
Are you getting these things into the airports?
I'm trying.
You got. I think that you have a plan to get these into the airports, and I think we're sitting across the table
now. I'm going to be doing some travel. And I could use some coloring books for my long trips.
They're very therapeutic. People are saying they're very lovely. We've had some submissions. We do kind of an online ongoing thing where people color in the drawings and then send them to us. And then we make them, you know, moderately internet famous for like 5 minutes. And we've seen some great stuff come in.
That's like extreme internet fame, 5 minutes.
Right. I think that's pretty good.
Andy Warhol's 15 minutes is like a nanosecond in internet time.
You know, it's the curse of rock and roll. Everything's compressed.
I said...
engineering joke. Get that. Our engineer is laughing. He got that one. He turned up to compression.
That was a joke from my husband.
To obnoxiously quote myself, what I said in my book, Dirty, 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 was when Andy Warhol said that everyone was going to be famous for 15 minutes, he didn't realize that it was going to be the same 15 minutes, and it was going to cancel everything was going to cancel each other out, which is the gift of the internet.
I'm chatting here, but Adam's here. Adam Parfrey, who is the founder and the brains and overlord of
Feral
House.
And a true hero of independent publishing.
And a true hero. I mean, so many pretenders to Adam's throne.
Oh, don't tell me about that.
Okay, if that's the case, Adam,
Talk about this, your celebrity dad. Well, let's get right to it.
Oh, I can talk about that.
Let's talk about that now.
Yeah, well, apes. You get into the realm of character actordom, and you know what that
is. We love it. Yeah, we love it. We're
and
obsessed.
And so
We're aspiring character actors ourselves.
Well, yeah, you are a character, and you do acting, so you're a character actor. The thing is, you grow up in L.A., as I did, and dad was on all these hundreds of TV shows, these police shows, detective shows, Perry Mason, all Naked City, all that stuff.
Adam 12?
Adam 12, yeah.
One Adam 12, right?
Yeah, they shot the initial episode of Adam 12 when I became 12, and my name is Adam. Our driveway.
That's part of the Grand Illuminati conspiracy.
That's the best birthday ever.
Arts and Seizures, where we pull it all together.
But your dad was part of the Ape Tribunal in my all-time favorite movie, Planet of the Apes, 1968.
It's a very harsh tribunal.
Dr. Maximus, the orangutan, you know?
Was he a reasonable simian, or was he one of the more...
No, he was an orangutan.
I know, but was he like on the reasonable ones, or was he the ones that wanted to stick it to the
look? It goes like
the man.
I am an offspring, so you can see if I'm sufficiently.
Well, no.
Simian?
See, you're a publisher. Okay, this is the way it goes. Okay, you're the publisher, so you're an orangutan. I'm an author, so I'm a chimpanzee. Okay, and everybody else is basically girls.
Planet.
Who's a bonobo?
There are no bonobos in this movie. Who's the giver of the law is what you want to know.
There was a TV series of Planet of the Apes.
There were two, actually.
Well, he was on this one where he played a chimpanzee.
Wait, they downgraded him from orangutan to chimpanzee?
Yeah, he was downgraded.
Oh, the humanity.
Call his agent.
Yeah.
Wow. I wonder if he had to take a pay cut for that. Because, you know, that is the caste system of Planet of the Apes, of course, that the orangutans were the ruling class. They were, Dr. Zaius was both minister, a defender of the faith and minister of science.
Well,
not unlike the orangutan we have in charge now, these orange-skinned people.
Literally,
the planet.
The chimps got the most salary. Roddy McDowell was a biggest star.
I still am amazed that they got these chimps and orangutans and whatnot to do all that acting.
But I'm
amazed.
I'll make the literary comment here.
Bring this in.
So in Malay,
reel it in.
In Malay, orangutan, orang means man. And that's what, so the orangutan, it means man. That's
I thought it meant forest man.
No, and that's when
when
Anthony Burgess wrote Clockwork Orange, that's what, it's Clockwork Man, because he was raised in Malaysia.
He was raised by apes.
In Malaysia.
Man.
Along with Edgar Rice Burroughs.
That's like Joe, it's like Joe Franklin speak.
They went to grade school together.
He's more than a man, he's man.
He's a man.
That's very Joe Franklin. Adam, tell us about how Feral House got started. I'm so thrilled to be working with you guys and to have you here again. But I really hold the imprint in high esteem for you guys take a lot of chances. Aside from putting out some like very, very cool stuff, you do take a lot of chances and follow a great tradition of what I consider like kind of anarchist and revolutionary publishing. How and why on God's earth would you possibly want to get into this racket?
Well, I worked at the damn Strand bookstore. I was in New York City. Yeah, you know that.
And what years? Were you there with like when every punk rocker in New York was working there? Like Miriam Linna was there.
Yeah.
All the guys from Teenage Jesus and the Jerks were there.
Yeah, okay. Miriam was the accountant, I think.
That's all right. They were all there.
So
I worked around the corner at that time at Farrar, Straus and Gouraud.
Oh, yeah.
So all of our review copies wound up at Strand. And that was driving Roger Strauss crazy, I just want to tell you.
Well, I tell you, if you brought those into the Strand, it's probably my duty to bring them downstairs to where the...
Yeah, put a little marker on.
Right. But in any case, I realized at that time that one could publish a book or get a book published without being in that entire New York City Central Bureau, where they determined what to publish and how to publish.
Ross Strauss and Gouraud.
Yeah.
The orangutans. Roger Strauss, definitely orangutan.
It seemed like an intimidating thing. You could never do that, right?
Yeah.
No little people could do that.
Nope.
But I'm little enough that I thought I could do it.
You slipped through.
And so I did it. You just have to find out who the distributor is and how to get the books out into the trade itself. And so that's how it occurred. I was called up the distributors and put forward proposals on which books we do. And they put out the first book I ever
published.
Which was? A novel by a famous man, Joseph Goebbels.
Goebbels? Goebbels did some, what was it called?
It was called Michael, wasn't it?
I like
it. Yes, it was called Michael. And
loved him in the Third Reich.
Yeah, that yearly Esquire thing about making fun of anything, it was featured on that.
Well, that you know. Well, listen. Did you guys see the movie The Last Laugh? We were talking about
this.
Yes. Emil Yannings?
The documentary on PBS recently about humor and the Holocaust.
Oh.
We talked about
that's
this.
Really
we talked,
the last.
Well, we talked about this on the radio last week.
No, we didn't.
I did. I don't know if you were listening, but I was talking.
I was asleep.
Well, that's.
What I learned from Al Goldstein, what I learned from Larry Flint, is that you could say anything as long as it's funny.
Yes.
And that's it. If it's funny, you can say it. And I mean, God, the stuff we used to run in Screw and Hustler, holy cow. And Mel Brooks was there saying, well, you know, Adolf Hitler, funny. Holocaust, not so much.
I don't know. I was in school and working, and I was walking around Auschwitz when they were filming the behind shots during Schindler's List. Yeah, let me just say, Steven Spielberg, he's an asshole. Okay,
yeah.
I cannot watch that movie because one, he made the Holocaust.
It's a terrible movie.
He made the Holocaust end in a group hug, and plus, he's just a jerk. He yelled "fuck you" at me.
Why did he do that?
Motherfucker.
Because I walked into his
shop. Served him hors d'oeuvres at a very exclusive birthday party.
Jaws was the last good movie he made.
Kevin Kline in his apartment. A surprise birthday party for him, he was on the A list of this. And I was the guy with the tuxedo and the tray, the silver slather,
playing the role of waiter number one.
I was the celebrity the hors d'oeuvre server to, and he was very patiently. The World Series was on TV, so all the guests sat down on the couch, and he very patiently explained baseball in a very kind of, I thought, Brooklyn-y kind of like. You know, nerdish way, explaining how baseball worked to John Cleese, who was sitting next to him on the
couch.
Well,
if you want to fuck with Steven Spielberg.
I don't.
Well, I do.
I do.
But yeah, let's go.
A good way to do it is Mother goes to this deli in L.A. called Factors in West L.A.
Oh, shit,
she's always there. So you can take care of Spielberg's mother.
This is great. The Illuminati's going to get us now.
And my next book, Spielberg's Mother. Stalking Spielberg's Mother.
My gosh. Do you have a song in you?
It's going to be a follow-up to Roger and me. So how'd the Goebbels book do?
Goebbels, please.
It got a New York Times book review. The first book I put out, and it was like the last one for quite some time. And so, but in any case... That was the first, and the other titles of that, Amok Press, the original press I did that time. Yeah, it was Apocalypse Culture came out, the second one, the second book I published, and the third was The Manson File.
Still in print, right? You guys still.
Oh, yeah.
It's still a big backlist.
Was that in any way related to Charles Manson?
It was.
Who's your favorite Manson girl? Come on. Mike, who's your favorite Manson girl?
Kremlinkle.
My favorite. Squeaky. Squeaky Fromm, of course. Christine, do you have a favorite Manson girl?
I don't have a favorite Manson girl. I don't kind of swing that way.
I don't mean it like that. I mean, you know.
I like the pretty one, Leslie.
She's from Wisconsin.
Von Houten.
Yeah. Wait, was she the coffee heiress? Which one was the coffee heiress?
Von Houten. Yes.
That she got killed. That was Abigail Folger.
Oh, Folger, right? Of course. Right.
There were two coffee heiresses.
Put Folgers in your cup.
Yikes.
You know, there was this awful trend for so long, like in punk rock circles and hardcore circles, especially like a sort of glamorizing of serial killers. And I know Charlie Manson's very charismatic, and there's a lot of pretty, I mean, hey,
Gary Gilmore's eyes.
You know, but, you know,
it's transgressive.
People
that's
wanted
why.
To own Gacy paintings and stuff.
Right, they still do.
Yeah, I know. I can't get with it. No, I don't want that vibe in my home. I don't want to be around that.
It's transgressive. That's
I
what,
killed children. I mean...
I'm from Milwaukee. Come on.
Yeah.
We got to talk about Milwaukee.
I got to show you guys. You know, I wrote a comic strip with the illustrious Cliff Mott one time. It's about the time that the Kinks, your favorite band, met John Wayne Gacy. Do you know the story?
I don't.
Do you know the story that he promoted?
I bet they got along. I bet Ray and...
No, they had to leave his house.
I bet Ray and John got along very well.
I'm going to punch you.
They had to leave his house because it got creepy. He apparently promoted some gig. This was somewhere in Illinois. This is Doc.
Gary?
Well, Pete Quince, the bass player of the Kinks, would tell the story over and over again. I saw it in Mojo Magazine, saw it here and there. Tried to verify it. I finally found, though, Now, Gacy did promote gigs like rock bands. This is like early first wave British Invasion stuff at like the local VFW hall. And I found the date. They played. The opening band was the Kim Fowley, the Argyles. What were they called?
Hollywood Argyles. Alley-oop.
Right. So they were there, and it all made sense. Everything that he said sort of lined up. And the story that Quince told was that they went to his house for cocktails afterwards and got creeped out and left.
Wow.
So Cliff and I,
I'm creeped out.
Did a comic book about a comic about this called All the Day and All the Fright.
Oh,
and all the fright.
Well, here's a rock and roll connection.
There you go.
To a book that we published about the Source family. It's a hippie cult in L.A. in the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. Open up a vegetarian restaurant, mm-hmm. Sunset Boulevard.
The documentary on them is astonishing.
Yeah, yeah. You've seen that. So, but
Ray, I wanted to join after I saw that.
Yeah, a lot of pretty girls and all that. So this... this Ray Davies came out in some interview saying he helped found that whole cult. Ray Davies.
Ray really? Said so, that from London.
He but there's a kink it? In that story.
Tell us.
He had nothing to do with it.
But here's the thing is Ray, actually Dave Davies. Dave.
Dave yeah. did it?
Dave is a part of a cult. Did you know that?
Yes,
Dave is a
flying saucer thing.
No, right. Dave is part of like Dr. I think his name is Dr. George King, and he has like kind of a little bit like the Uranians, a little bit of like so, you know, yogic UFOs.
UFOs,
you know,
right.
yeah,
Big
yeah.
On
that. So Dave is actually. I just saw Dave play about a month ago.
He was very talented.
Oh, it was so sweet. It was such. And let me just give it. My husband's a drummer, so shout out to Dennis Dyken who was drumming for that night.
Dennis
was drumming for Dave. Yeah,
Dennis was drumming. Amazing.
Yeah, he's great.
That's awesome.
The fabulous Dennis Dyken
of
the fabulous Smithereens.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite bands ever.
One of your old pals.
You're from Jersey.
And we're doing a New Jersey show soon. I want to tell you, get ready. Judy McGuire is coming back. I've got the Garden State Social Club. We're doing an all-New Jersey show.
Send Dennis in here.
Let's talk about this because one of the books that we're coming out with fall, all right, this is Grandpa's Ghost Stories. This is a print of a children's book that is long out of print by the art by Jim Flora.
I'm holding it in my hand, and let me tell you, it is very scary.
It is scary. It's kind of a precursor to Goosebumps, but Irwin Chusid is a big fan of Jim Flora, and Irwin Chusid, WMFMU, out of Hoboken. And what's this funny thing that when we had dinner with Irwin Thursday night, what did you guys find out?
We both lived in the same building.
In Hoboken.
Where? In Hoboken.
Hoboken, yeah.
With Frank Sinatra. There you go. I am not from New Jersey, however.
You're from Maspeth.
I'm from Maspeth. But I had an aunt in Mays Landing. And another one in Ogdensburg, so
really? I had an uncle in Mays Landing.
I
drove through New Jersey once.
I drove through Mays Landing.
And I had another aunt in Hohokus, so I had a lot of relatives.
New Jersey, home of baseball and Frank Sinatra, a little pride. You getting us Bruce, right?
For that even Benjamin Franklin said it, poor New Jersey, a barrel tapped at both ends.
Well, you all have your chance to talk about that when we do our New Jersey episode.
I'm going to be here.
It's coming up
with surprise guests. You know, are you going to play a song?
No, actually, I want to talk a little bit more.
I want to talk
about the history of the Mud Club, the upcoming Funeral House book, which I'm very excited about.
I was redacted out of, like all other histories.
Well, there must be a reason for it.
The reason
is time
that
for introspection.
Because everybody wants to get the glory for themselves, and I'm used to that, and that's fine.
Wow,
I can see the chip on your shoulder.
It's the chip that's grown over 40 years of being written out of history.
Oh. Do you need a hug?
No.
What's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Pistachio.
Oh, chocolate chip? What about that?
I like chocolate chip is okay. Yeah. I like cherry vanilla.
Cherry vanilla? Okay.
Cherry vanilla, especially when you get it in the Chinese restaurant, Mike. Remember at the end they give you a scoop of cherry vanilla?
I never spent a lot of time at the Mud Club. I'm just moving right back. I was at the cusp of the age. I was a little bit too old, too young, rather, for
you're about 8 years old.
Max's, you know, I kind of...
Maxwell's.
I missed that. Well, we played a lot at Maxwell's.
First band to play at Maxwell's. Oh, the Fleshtones.
The history of the book is actually...
You should write a book. You know what? I know some excellent independent publishers who might be...
You know some independent publishers?
Outstanding ones.
You got to write the thing, though.
And if you could swing in like
my
a little...
My old pal, Roger Strauss.
If you could swing in the recipe for a Molotov cocktail, they might really go for it.
Oh. I'd rather get a better old-fashioned. This is terrible.
This is a delicious old-fashioned.
I'm from Wisconsin. We drink more Korbel in the state of Wisconsin than the entire country.
Okay, you drink more of everything, so it's really an unfair statistic.
Jim Backus.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about old-fashioned.
It's the old-fashioned way.
That's right.
This one's terrible. So,
you're from Milwaukee, right?
I'm from Milwaukee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bratwurst, right? But also the
Highest per capita drinking state of all time.
they make
your children are allowed to drink in Milwaukee.
Yes,
they make the famous Sawzall, my favorite tool
Milwaukee
in the world.
Tools.
The Milwaukee
You'll see a lot tools, of kids walking them. Around Milwaukee with them. They get the Milwaukee tool logo tattooed on
I love
arm.
It. I love the Sawzall.
I don't have it.
My favorite, I am not big on theme bars, but my favorite theme bar in the whole world is in Milwaukee, the Safe House.
Yeah, I was going to say it's the Safe House.
The Safe House.
It's great. You can still go.
I love
it's
the
a
safe
James
house.
Bond theme bar.
In an alleyway?
In an alleyway, and there's actually like secret rooms, and there's a lift,
a door
chair
that falls
through. And the best thing, and I don't know, you guys probably haven't been in the ladies' bathroom, but if you press.
No. It's not much of a stretch,
but
really.
If you press
if
the
you know
secret
what happens?
Button in yep. the ladies' bathroom,
I'm going
doors
now. I'm going.
Slide open, and you see Burt Reynolds in the Playgirl centerfold in all his glory.
Oh, man, go to the Safe House. And but you're not going to be able to find it unless you have a Milwaukee
and
in
a secret,
with you.
Yeah, you need a secret word. They don't let you in unless you give the
Swordfish.
Secret word.
The entrance
changes all the
Swordfish.
Time.
The entrance is disguised like the James Bond.
Yeah,
what is
yeah,
it? The whatever importing,
it calls,
whatever?
Yeah, front exports.
Front exports.
I think the password's Burt Reynolds.
No, here's the secret with Burt, though. If you press the secret button to see Burt's peen, then all the sirens go off. So when you come back out, everybody knows.
Do you know what Burt Reynolds and I have in common? One of the many things.
Besides your
that,
good looks.
I was a Playgirl model.
You were.
I was. This is absolutely true story. I can't wait to show you.
I don't want to see
my
it.
Grandmother Florence saw it, and she said it was charming. Okay, I was fully.
If your
I was
grandma
fully,
says your Playgirl spread is charming, you got bigger issues.
Okay,
man.
I was fully clothed, and it was a story about clothes don't make the man. And I borrowed wore this Madras jacket I had, and our friend Peter Lando lent me these velour pants that looked like they were made from old toilet seat covers, and I was like. Mismatched tuxedo shirt and this cowboy hat, and I was sort of waiting for my date with a box of chocolates. Well, you were looking for Kareem in the centerfold, I believe. Yeah. I was just right.
That was great.
But my grandmother also thought was very charming.
It was a Halloween issue, wasn't it?
But it was great. I got paid for it, like full model fee. I am a Playgirl model. I will show it to you.
You can see it.
Burt Reynolds and me. Although, you know, like I said, I was somewhat more clothed, thankfully, than he.
This
should.
Is
show all your audience over the radio.
But we have this. We basically
show it. Show it, Mike.
Here on the radio?
Yeah.
What's the David Niven quote? Display your shortcomings?
We're going to do the
full. David Niven.
I'll do the full, what I call the George Thorogood, because I was once on the radio with him, and his new record came out, and they said, oh, so you got a new record, and he held it up for the radio.
Nice.
Excellent.
Well, that's what 19,000 gigs will do to you.
You know what? This is, I have to say, this has been a very sparkling session here. It's really... we should get more literate people in here, Mike.
I work on
to
it.
Your usual.
I feel bad that you've been written out of history. What I want you to do
that's all right.
when you go home,
that's
though,
right.
I want
the man who wasn't there. That's what.
That's where you have to write your own history. Tell your version of the truth.
I want you to go when you go home. I want you to go on Wikipedia and go to Apollo 17, the entry, and change the names of the astronauts to Buddy Hackett and Jim Backus.
Jim Backus, I know. Peter's Rambo. Adam's dad. I want to get him in there too.
I think you just go for it. First man on the moon, Keith Strang.
Why
not Woodrow Parfrey?
Why not
Woodrow Parfrey? This is so good. This is like what? Not that we are not in the presence of greatness, but seriously, he gave Clint Eastwood
a
hot dog at the beginning of Dirty Harry, one of my very 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 favorite movies. And of course, Planet of the Apes, which is pretty much like my favorite movie. And he was an orangutan, too. I mean, Matsumoto would suck if your father was like a chimp or a gorilla. But he was on the tribunal. He gave ape law.
No, I have
shun humans, for they shall turn into a barren desert and destroy paradise and. Yeah, that's right, Zaramba. Human see, human do.
He was just, but very tough. Like, you know, so that was his reputation in Hollywood.
Now, you grew up in Hollywood. You grew up in Los Angeles.
Indeed.
So did when you were in school, were there like other kids whose parents were like chimps or apes or orangutans?
Or better? Or better?
I wasn't in the chimp class, but there were other actor kids.
Or the remedial gorilla class.
What other actor
There was
kids?
A guy I remember in elementary school. There was a friend. His name was Carl Fried. His father's name is Bert Fried. And what's that? He was the sheriff in that Billy Jack movie.
Oh, Billy Jack.
Okay.
Milwaukee.
That's important, Billy right? Jack.
Actually, I never saw any of those.
But you've read the Mad Magazine satire, right?
I read
slow to anger. That's like sort of the joke they run through the whole Mad Magazine satire.
My uncle dressed like Billy Jack every day. Yeah. The hat, sideways belt buckle.
I'm totally going to start doing that starting tomorrow.
That's, do it. That's it's a good look. My, that's it's a new, good look. That's
gonna be, and barefoot. Yeah. Oh, no, he took his shoes off to keep people's asses. Right. You got to remember that. Do you know, speaking of Mad Magazine, Planet of the Apes never got its own proper satire. It was ganged up after there was like 4 or 5 ape movies come out. They finally got around to it. So it was The Planet That Went Ape, and then Beneath the Planet That Went Ape, and Conquest of the Planet Went Ape. They never actually got its own. I think this is one of the great crimes of history.
Were there knockoff Planet of the Apes movies?
Well, don't forget, there was the first run. There was Planet of the Apes, then Beneath the Planet of the Apes, Conquest of Planet of the Apes, Battle for Planet of the Apes, and Escape from Planet of the Apes. That was the first run. I've been doing a lot of ape scripture, so I'm familiar.
I'm a little afraid.
Then there were two versions of the TV show. There was Planet of the Apes and Return to Planet of the Apes, and a cartoon
his
called
dad was
Planet
only
of
in
the
one
apes,
of those series.
That's right. The
but
first
I got
one.
To tell you, the,
first
car-
one. The original, Mike.
But the cartoon is really good.
The real one.
I
remember the
thing.
Cartoon. That was very good.
It hones
they
very,
didn't move much.
It hones very the, close to the book, Planet of the Apes. More so than the other movies. And then, of course, there was Tim Burton's movie, Planet of the Apes. And then there was the current Rise of the Apes, Valley of Apes, blah, blah, blah. I'm a purist.
Thus keeping Roddy McDowall occupied
I was running to Ape Week in the 4:30 movie, you know? I was
like, you're going to play a song,
one of these
Mike. You're
DVDs,
running out of time.
One of the DVDs of Roddy McDowall's home movies. Taking it to set of Planet of the Apes.
I've seen they're fantastic.
And you should see that because my father's reading a biography of Mark Twain for the camera there. And so there's an
and
ape
this is,
reading.
This is at home at Roddy McDowell's house.
Well, not quite. But
it, oh, really? I figured at home he still has the makeup on. He's like, you know, sort of.
I have a gorilla suit. Whatever. I lounge around in it sometimes just for fun.
your Planet of the Apes costume.
Here's another thing I'm going to brag about.
Brag.
John Chambers, the makeup guy from Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
So my father's like getting clothing things and the makeup sessions for the movie before it was filmed. And so he brought me in, and they're in these trailers on the 20th Century Fox lot. And so they, you know, I'm just a child, like 8 or 9 years old. And then they said, well, we'll put a beard on this kid.
Oh.
So that's what they did. They put a beard on me.
And stuck.
Ape makeup apparently. People. And they went home, and I terrified a guy who was servicing our car at a gas station. and it was quite an impression I made on him.
The real Hollywood.
Yeah, that's a real Hollywood.
The
story.
Real Hollywood.
That's right. Human see, human do.
That's
All right. As always, it's been the fastest half hour.
Too quick.
Let's
go for a twofer here. Mike.
You guys want to stick around?
Yeah, we can stick around.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Yeah. We have learned a special composition in the key of dirty, the key of XXX for you all. We're going to go out with a bang. I'm happy to say that we're going to be working together on a new, revised, updated, expanded, super duper deluxe in Dolby.
Dolby? Dolby Stereo?
New improved.
Vitamin enriched version of my book Dirty, Dirty, Dirty with the great Firo House. We're here
it's
with Christina Ward and
it's going to be a loss
genuine
leader.
Heroes of publishing. If there were trading cards for publishing,
the prestige,
you guys would be number one and two. But we're going to stick around. We're going to do part two.
Feral Books,
aired,
right?
At Feral House.
Feral
books
House.
Books be
Feral
found
House.
At
Feral. You guys New Yorkers say it funny. Feral.
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 Mike,
yeah.
I have a feral
House.
Cat.
House.
You say it
right.
He does it.
House,
Mike
right?
says it wrong.
Root beer.
Feral is it uncivilized.
Root beer.
Feral.
Root beer.
Root beer.
Oconomowoc. Mequonago.
Milwaukee. Okay.
All right.
Feral House
I'll tell you
Publishing.
Where do we find
dirty,
you guys
dirty,
on the interwebs?
Feralhouse.com.
Look for it in your airport.
.com. And
I hope.
Seriously, if you want to get into trouble, this is a good place to start. Feralhouse.com for the lowbrow, literate, and otherwise like-minded.
Mike?
Like-minded.
They have elevated the prestige of this show immensely. Adam and Christine, thank you.
All right. Well, thanks to everybody on Radio Land, Hearts and Seizures. Stay tuned. We'll be back next week with the great Gary Lucas is going to be on the show.
Gary back?
Gary's coming back. And we've got a music special. Adam and Christine will be back at a...
All around the world.
We're going to roll a tape.
This goes out to our listeners in New Caledonia.
In New Caledonia. It's like doing a show with Captain Spaulding. All right. How dirty can you go?
I don't get dirty. Which song is this?
It's your song, baby.
Oh, really? It's mighty crazy, baby. It's mighty crazy, baby. It's mighty crazy, baby. You gotta keep on rubbing at the same old thing. You know it's crazy. You know it's crazy, baby. You know it's crazy, baby. You gotta keep on rubbing at the same old thing. You know I met a little girl. She was trimmed in blue. She saw me rubbing and she started rubbing too. Yeah, it's mighty crazy. It's mighty crazy, baby. It's mighty crazy, baby. It's mighty crazy, baby. You gotta keep on rubbing at the same old thing. Yeah, you don't know how I love you, love it. And rubbing all you find. It's so crazy the way she's rubbing. Keeps coming across my mind. It's mighty crazy. Crazy baby, mighty crazy baby. You gotta keep on rubbing at the same old thing, you know. It's mighty crazy baby. It's mighty crazy, baby. It's mighty crazy, baby. It's mighty crazy, cause you keep on rubbing at the same old thing. You know, I had on some dirty clothes standing by a tub. She pulled me right down in it and she began to rub. It's mighty crazy, baby. It's mighty crazy, baby. It's mighty crazy, baby. Cause she keeps on rubbing at the same old thing. I said, it's crazy. It's mighty crazy, baby.
All right, Candy Dan.
Crazy, baby.
Hearts and Seizures.
It's mighty crazy, baby.
See you guys next week.
Mighty crazy, baby. It's mighty crazy, baby. I'm having another old fashioned. The old fashioned way, Christine.
We're gonna tune it up. We're gonna tighten it up. We're gonna get Christine more an old fashioned, properly the old fashioned way. Because as soon as you go to Wikipedia and change the name of the astronauts, cha cha cha.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everybody. I'm Nick Latham.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.